Today on Fellowship in the Word, Pastor Bill Gebhardt challenges you to become a fully functioning follower of Jesus Christ.
David had men who were loyal to him to the death. David had a lot of people that loved him. But you know what? When you're depressed, nobody cares. Nobody. See, David, just like we are, he says, I cried out to you, O Lord. Now watch the pivot. I said, you are my refuge, my portion in the land of the living. Give heed to my cry, for I, he says, am brought very low. Deliver me, he says, from my persecutors, for they are too strong for me. Bring my soul out of prison. What a great description of depression. So that I may give thanks to your name.
Thank you for joining us today on this edition of Fellowship in the Word with Pastor Bill Gebhardt. Fellowship in the Word is the radio ministry of Fellowship Bible Church, located in Metairie, Louisiana. Let's join Pastor Bill Gebhardt now as once again he shows us how God's Word meets our world.
Cry out to God. Recall your past blessings. Ask the hard questions to God. And then it all sort of pivots right here. He says in verse 10, and then I said, it is my grief that the right hand of the Most High has changed. This is really neat. A little bit hard to understand in English, but it's pretty neat. He said, you know what? This is my fault. The right hand of God means the place of honor with God, the place of closest to God, the right hand. The sun rises and sits at the right hand of the Father. You see, he said, in my grief, God's right hand hasn't changed. He's loved me as he's always loved me. It's not changed at all. You see, nothing about God has changed. This is me. It's my grief. That's the pivot point, sort of, in a sense, his insight. He then says this, I shall remember the deeds of the Lord. Surely I will remember your wonders of old. I will meditate on all your work and muse, or that you could actually say consider, all your deeds. Soon as he thinks about it, wait, this isn't right. This is about me. This is me that God hasn't changed at all. Notice, remember, he says. Meditate and consider. Wow. That's astounding what he has done. He says, there's a point when I have to think about these things, the deeds of the Lord and the wonders of old. What is he beginning to do? I think he's beginning to do this. Whenever you're depressed, it usually starts out with a disappointment, but I'll call it, and some of them are major, I get that. But it's a molehill. And then with enough depressive thinking, you can turn that into a mountain. The bigger the mountain gets, and the bigger your problem gets, the deeper your depression gets, and the smaller your God gets. And so what ends up happening is Asaph says, you know what? You've done some impressive stuff. I mean, there wasn't anything, and you spoke, and now there's everything. Now, I don't know about you, but if you understand the size of the universe, you have to be impressed. You see, you just spoke it into existence. You created man in your image. You see, you called a guy out of Ur of the Chaldees, and you said, I'll make you a people. And we're a people. You did all these incredible things, the Exodus, which we'll look at in a moment. You did them all, God. Now, here's the thought. If you did all these incredible things, if God could speak and the known universe exists, do you think it's possible he has enough power to handle the thing that's disturbing you? You see, do you think that's possible that God has the resources to meet your need? That's what he's doing. You see, that's what Asaph is doing. If I put this in proportion, he said, it's my grief. Why am I thinking this? Why am I thinking that God's not able when he clearly is? You see, making good choices leads to good feelings. He's made a choice here. Of all the things that you could do when you're depressed, nothing's more important than the right choice. I mentioned Paul Meyer before, but when I was at Dallas Seminary, Frank Minrith was with Paul, and they had the Minrith-Meyer Clinic in Dallas, a large psychiatric clinic in Dallas. Both taught at the seminary. They wrote a book in the early 1980s called Happiness is a Choice. That book was incredible in its reach. It was a book about depression, and they are medical doctors, psychiatrists. But the book came down to, fundamentally, at the final end of it all, it came down to choosing. You see, happiness is a choice. And what Frank used to say sometimes would be, Dr. Minrith would say, and so is depression. He said, that's why the same thing could happen to two people when one person gets really depressed and the other person does not. It's not the circumstance. It's the choice. You see, and that's what happens to Asaph. He gets to the point where he said, I'm going to make a choice. I'm going to remember what God did. So, cries out to God, recalls his past blessings, asks God the hard questions, and chooses to redirect his thoughts. And now in this longer section, he does something really interesting. He magnifies God to diminish his problem. He magnifies God to diminish his problem, starting in verse 13. He says, your way, O God, is holy. What God is great like our God? By the way, that's an important thing. First of all, the character of God is holy because of the stuff that God does, he says. But he said, what God is like our God? This is kind of an interesting thing when you think about it. If you are going to turn your back on God, if you are going to turn away from God, and you're going to turn towards something else, the question I have for you is, how does it measure up? You see, if I'm going to turn away from God and go to drugs or alcohol because I'm depressed, how does that measure up? If I'm going to turn away from God to something else, another God of any sort, how will it measure up? It's astounding to me that Christians will say, well, I'm really disappointed in God, so this is why I did that. Well, compare that to God. You really ought to be disappointed now. You see, that's what we end up doing. And he says, don't do that. He then says, you are the God that works wonders. You have made known your strength among the peoples. You have, by your power, redeemed your people, the sons of Jacob and Joseph. We call in the Exodus. How does that work? Not just the plagues, but what about the angel of death? You see, what about that? What about the Passover? How do you redeem a people? How did that work? How do you do something so great? 400 years, 2 million people with slaves. You got them out. You see, what's he doing? He's magnifying God. What does that do? It diminishes his problem. You see, it diminishes his problem because he knows, wow, God, you have resources that are incredible. Notice he gets even more graphic. He says, the waters saw you, O God. The waters saw you, and they were in anguish. The deeps also trembled. The clouds poured out water. The skies gave forth a sound. Your arrows flashed here and there. The sound of your thunder, he said, was in the whirlwind. The lightnings lit up the world, and the earth trembled and shook. I'm convinced, Lord, you can deal with my problem. You see, he said, what would have that been like? Who knows? Asaph's looking back as a Jew, saying, what was that like in the Exodus? All this power. Moses standing by the Red Sea. Watch God work. How do you do that? Magnify God to diminish your problems. He calls God El Elyon all the way through this section. That is the God, that is the creator and protector God. He says, wow, you delivered a whole nation. You see, if you think about that, what am I worried about? You see, what am I worried about? If that's what God's done, if Christ could come, live a perfect life, die on the cross on your behalf, get buried and rise from the dead, and he's coming back. If God can do that, how does that compare with what's bothering you? You see, what is the comparison that you have? He just keeps magnifying the Lord. It's an interesting way of putting it, but it puts my problem in perspective. And then in verses 19 and 20, the reason I made it separate was simply because it's a continuation but a conclusion. I love what he writes. He says, your way was in the sea, and your paths, he said, in the mighty waters, and your footprints may not be known. You led your people like a flock by the hand of Moses and Aaron. Cry out to God. Recall your past blessings. Ask God the hard questions. Choose to redirect your thoughts. Magnify God to diminish your problem. And trust God to deliver you out of your depression. Just trust God. That's what he comes to. You see, that's where it's at. And it's interesting. Notice that it's poetry, but it's a wonderful way in which he does it. In the first part of verse 19, he says, your way was in the sea and your paths in the mighty waters. You know, even Cecil B. DeMille really couldn't do this justice, but if you've seen the movie, you know, this parting of the Red Sea thing is pretty impressive. That's talking about power, but what's the other side of the verse? Because it's poetry. He says, and your footprints may not be known. He said, it looked to man like you weren't even there. He said, when you work, you don't leave footprints. He said, you just work. And then he goes from God's power to God's heart. He says, you led your people like a flock. What's he mean? You're shepherd. What's that mean? You're good. You're kind. You see, it's not just a matter of your power. What does a shepherd think of his flock? You see, when Jesus said, I am the good shepherd, he said, what kind of good shepherd are you? He said, I'm the best. I lay down my life for the sheep. That's what he's alluding to here. He said, you're my shepherd. It's not just, are you powerful enough to do it? Of course God is. He said, and you love me enough. Notice he never says that it's going to change the circumstances. By the way, when most people come out of depression, almost all the circumstances never change. It's not like the circumstances change. You change. That's what he's looking for. I want to change. He then says, notice you led your people like a flock, and then he said, by the hand of Moses and Aaron. What's that mean? God uses people. You see, God uses people. If you're depressed, by the way, avail yourself to people. People in the body of Christ, especially people who have the gift of mercy, gift of encouragement. You see, people, expose yourself to people. Let God use people. If you need to see a counselor, see one. One who knows the scriptures and loves the Lord, but see one. God will work through that. Cry out to God, recall your past blessings, ask God the hard questions. Choose to redirect your thoughts. Magnify God to diminish your problems, and trust God to deliver you out of your depression. You know, if this was just one thing, these things all the way through the book of Psalms. So what I want to do now is I want to just read through two Psalms so you see these exact same things operating. Go with me first to Psalm 42. Psalm 42. Now this is written by the sons of Korah. And guess who they're written for? This psalm was written for the choir director. Who's the choir director? Asaph. See, they're writing this. Now listen to this and watch the same thing show up. He starts out with the conclusion. As the deer pants for the water brooks, so my soul pants for you, O God. My soul thirsts for God, for the living God. He says, when shall I come and appear before God? Then he gets to the depression. My tears have been my food day and night. He says, while they say to me all day long, where's your God? Isn't that interesting? You always feel like that when you're a believer and you're depressed. Where's your God? These things I remember and I pour out my soul within me. For I used to go along with the throng, he says, and lead them in procession to the house of God with a voice of joy and thanksgiving in a multitude, keeping festival. What's he doing? Remembering the good old days, remembering the past blessings. I was somebody. Boy, when we had a big feast, I was right there leading the people of God. He remembers. Now the questions, why are you in despair, O my soul? Why have you become disturbed within me? Hope in God, for I shall, he says again, praise him for the help of his presence. Oh my God, my soul is in despair within me. Therefore, I remember you from the land of the Jordan, from the peaks, he says, of Hermon and Mount Mizar. He says, deep calls the deep at the sound of your waterfalls, all your breakers and your waves have rolled over me. The Lord will command his loving kindness in the daytime, and his song will be with me in the night, a prayer to God, to the God of my life. And I will say to God, my rock, why have you forgotten me? Why do I go in mourning because of the oppression of the enemy? He says, as the shattering of my bones, my adversaries revile me. What's the problem? Why is he depressed? People. He has enemies. People can depress you. They can. And that's what happens here. He says, why are you in despair, O my soul? Why have you become disturbed within me? Back to his conclusion. Hope in God, for I shall yet praise him. You see the change in the pivot? Did he say, I'm praising him now? No. He said, I'm going to. You see, he's made the change. He's changed his thinking. I will yet praise him. Praise is coming. He says, the help of my countenance. Wow, that's directly related to depression. What's he saying? I have a flat countenance. But it's going to change. He said, the help of my countenance, my God. You see, the same thing. This time, the sons of Korah, one last one. Psalm 142, 100 psalms west. Psalm 142. We move from Asaph to the sons of Korah to David, the man after God's own heart. I could have picked several different psalms for David. David's depressed quite a bit. Remember that, though. He was depressed, and he was the only person in the Word of God called a man after God's own heart. So it doesn't make him unspiritual because he faces depression. He starts out, I cry aloud. There it is, same words. I cry aloud with my voice to the Lord. I make supplication with my voice to the Lord. That means he's pleading. He said, I poured out my complaint before him. I declare my trouble before him. When my spirit was overwhelmed within me, he just poured himself out. God, my life stinks. You see, he just pours it out. He says, you knew my path in the way where I walk. He says, they have hidden a trap for me. Look to the right and see. There is no one who regards me. There is no escape for me. No one cares for my soul. That's a pity party. How do I know that? David had men who were loyal to him to the death. David had a lot of people that loved him. But you know what? When you're depressed, nobody cares. Nobody. See, David, just like we are. He says, I cried out to you, O Lord. Now watch the pivot. I said, you are my refuge, my portion in the land of the living. Give heed to my cry, for I, he says, am brought very low. Deliver me, he says, from my persecutors, for they are too strong for me. Bring my soul out of prison. What a great description of depression. So that I may give thanks to your name. He says, the righteous will surround me, for you will deal bountifully with me. Notice again its future. He's still depressed while he's doing this. Cry out to God. Recall your past blessings. Ask God the hard questions. Choose to redirect your thoughts. Magnify God to diminish your problems. Trust God to deliver you from your depression. Act 1, Scene 2, Julius Caesar, by William Shakespeare, Cassius speaking. The fault, dear Brutus, is not in our stars, but in ourselves. Each one of us is free to chart our destiny in the exercise of choice. I think the Lord would say to that, and when you find yourselves sinking into despair, choose me. Let's pray. Father, I am simply praying for two groups of people this morning. For one group of people here, they're on a good time in their life, at a good spot in their life. Some may be on a mountaintop of their life. They wake up with joy and happiness, purpose and meaning. They have hope and peace. But Father, we are not naive. There are always moments where we can find ourselves discouraged and despairing. I would pray that this outline that comes from Asaph would be helpful to us in a preventative way. That as we begin to see ourselves in any way sinking, that we go to the Word of God and allow the Word of God to speak to us, that we are able to incorporate the transparency that is needed to be honest with God, and that we are able to change our thinking once we get a perspective of how big our God is and how small our problem is. Father, there's another group. They're not on the mountaintop, they're in the valley this very day. They find themselves discouraged. They may be depressed. I pray, Father, that they can see an example here from the sons of Korah to David to Asaph himself, that they realize that they're not alone or unspiritual because some of the greatest men in the Word of God find them depressed at times. The question is, what are they going to do about it? Father, I pray that they simply read that Psalm, Psalm 77, on a regular basis, and they begin with that kind of transparency to the Lord. They begin to change their thinking, and they begin to magnify you and diminish the problem. Father, I thank you that you meet our needs. You meet our physical needs and our emotional needs and our spiritual needs. I thank you that even though we live in a fallen world around sinful people where we can get discouraged and despairing, you still can pull us through that. You still have the capacity and the love for us to relieve us of our darkness and our depression and to once again restore your joy. We thank you for that in Jesus' name. Amen.
You've been listening to Pastor Bill Gephardt on the radio ministry of Fellowship in the Word. If you ever miss one of our broadcasts, or maybe you would just like to listen to the message one more time, remember that you can go to a great website called oneplace.com. That's oneplace.com, and you can listen to Fellowship in the Word online. At that website, you will find not only today's broadcast, but also many of our previous audio programs as well. At Fellowship in the Word, we are thankful for those who financially support our ministry and make this broadcast possible. We ask all of our listeners to prayerfully consider how you might help this radio ministry continue its broadcast on this radio station by supporting us monthly or with just a one-time gift. Support for our ministry can be sent to Fellowship in the Word, 4600 Clearview Parkway, Metairie, Louisiana, 7006. If you would be interested in hearing today's message in its original format, that is, as a sermon that Pastor Bill delivered during a Sunday morning service at Fellowship Bible Church, then you should visit our website, fbcnola.org. That's fbcnola.org. At our website, you will find hundreds of Pastor Bill's sermons. You can browse through our sermon archives to find the sermon series you are looking for, or you can search by title. Once you find the message you are looking for, you can listen online, or if you prefer, you can download the sermon and listen at your own convenience. And remember, you can do all of this absolutely free of charge. Once again, our website is fbcnola.org. For Pastor Bill Gebhardt, I'm Jason Gebhardt, thanking you for listening to Fellowship in the Word.